using your computer. And now here is Jordan Kimmel.
This broadcast is for information purposes only and should not be regarded as a recommendation or an offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy securities or investments mentioned herein. This broadcast is the opinion of Jordan Kimmel. At the time of this broadcast, a member of Mr. Kimmel's household owns shares of the company discussed in this program. Additional information on topics discussed herein available upon request.
This is Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Profitable Investing is a show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
Okay, good morning, folks, and welcome back to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And we have a couple superb guests for you when we get into the later part of the show. For now, I must take some time to go over what has become nothing short of a market fantasy right now. Maybe we need to rename the show, How Good Does It Get? But what we're trying to do here, most importantly, is just to simply read the tea leaves to make sure that we're focused on what is happening rather than we think is happening. And that behavior, coupled with the magnet stock selection process and using no ego to manage money, is leading to some tremendous things in here, folks. And I hope you're just participating in whatever way you are. We see our newsletter subscriptions being added. We see a fair amount of traffic over to magnetinvesting.com. We're getting calls in to manage money. So we think folks are out there listening. Share the news with a friend. What we've been doing regularly since the show started was getting on the other side of the media instead of the what's moving the market this second. The question really is, where are we going? What does the market really look like when you go beyond just looking at the indexes? Where's the new highs coming from? Where are the new lows coming from? What's moving the market? And I got to admit, I'm looking right now at the newsletter we created for Forbes a little over a year ago. What we are seeing is just a dramatic portfolio taking shape. We have had, guys, let me remind you, we have had some losers in the portfolio. We unemotionally cut them out at 20%. The net result is such great numbers on our portfolio that we have to remain very, very humble. We know the market is tricky. We know that the more you pound on your chest, the harder it gets. So we'll be very quiet here and we'll share that we are on top of things. What we heard of, the last thing that we heard of was stay away from the market for a while. We got to let the political uncertainty end. We got to make sure that the Democrats don't take control because they're going to block everything and ruin everything. Well, the reality is the Democrats swept. The market opened up lower yesterday and closed at a new record high. Thursday when we're on the show, I think we had seen five or six consecutive losses on the major indexes, and all we asked you to do was to remain patient, and when the show started again by Thursday again, the bull would be back in charge. And yesterday we had yet another record close on the Dow, but more importantly, the growth stocks, the growth sectors, which we've been pointing you to, have begun to charge and lead the market. The asset managers are moving ahead very rapidly. We do see a couple of those on our model portfolio in our picks. We are seeing an article in today's Investors Daily on one of our graphic chip accelerator companies that has been in the portfolio since inception and keep marching forward. Whatever we're doing here will remain humble, but I will tell you when I look right now, and let's get you up to date right now, when we look on page B4 of the Investors Business Daily, it shows us 384 new highs yesterday, 48 new lows. Folks, on the new lows, I checked the list. There's really barely a real company on those 48 lists. This is the kind of action, forget about the indexes, this is the kind of action which takes every technical evaluation process and turns it positive to get more money flowing into the market. When you look at the Dow Jones Industrials, you look at the transports and the utilities, they are about to make a tripod. When all three of them hit a new high, and that to me, in my eye, looks like it's within the month, we will see a whole new group of people coming out of the woodwork called the Dow Theorists, confirming that now the indexes of the utilities and the transports have gone ahead and confirmed the Dow, which basically is saying we are in just a dynamite global expansion where things may moderate from the 17% quarterly growth rate we've been seeing down to 10%, still above historical levels. We're seeing the bond market go ahead, trade higher and higher and higher, suggesting rate cuts down the road, that whatever their own measurement of measuring inflation, which is quite different than mine, shows benign inflation. Reality is, folks, all you got to do is buy tickets to a sporting game, or go in and spend any money in any store other than a computer store, and you'll find that the prices of everything continue to accelerate and go a little bit higher. So where we sit right now, how can we help you, is really the question that this show tries to ask. What we don't do here is give you the hot stock of the day to get you to day trade and to get you to be in and out and lose track of what you're doing. What it's more about is creating a vision or a game plan, and then figuring out what kind of tools we have. The tools I think I can offer folks is to have your own portfolio scored the way the bigger guys are having it done through us right now. We offer that as a complimentary service. We started to put out this newsletter for those folks who either want to do it themselves or want to kind of compare along with how they think they should be doing it. And all you need to do is come to magnetinvesting.com, sign up for the newsletter, or if you'd like, first, sign up for just a complimentary month or two peek at it to see if it can be helpful to you. And we continue to just kind of march down this road. We tune out the media as much as we possibly can. We read more, frankly, for entertainment and for enjoyment and just to see what other people are reading and thinking, rather than embracing those views. If it's in the paper, it's probably too late to take advantage. But what we're doing instead, every Monday morning, my team brings me top in sector, top by market cap. We break out new companies hitting the list. We've gone long a couple of brand new names, folks, stocks I have frankly never even heard of. They're in our portfolio right now, and that's the way we manage money. If it fundamentally shows itself to be a leader in their sector and then confirms it technically, folks, we're in. I think what we can all do is probably think too much. I will tell you, I had a great visit last week from my brother in from California. Unfortunately, he's just polluted with all the West Coast propaganda and politics, and it keeps his hands firmly in his pockets. He's one of the guys very convinced the world is virtually about to come to an end, and the only thing to do is to sit around in despair while America loses its teeth. And the truth of the matter is, folks, it couldn't be further than the truth. There's more net worth in this country right now. There's more people working. There is just a global economy. So if, again, I sound bullish, I probably am, but I'm not telling you to go and simply buy the S&P or the diamonds, which is the surrogate for the Dow Jones. I think you'll make money there, but if you're willing to take the time, and my God, who shouldn't be, to learn and understand how the market works, to identify what could be the potential market leaders out there, folks, it's game over. You can actually get less busy. You can chase your tail less. You can go to your kids' soccer games and baseball games. You could go to their even practices if you harness the bull market that's rolling out in front of you. What I will contend, and again, this is my opinion, folks, we are in a tremendous moment for the stock market. It's unfolding as we go into the best 6 months from October to April. It also coincides with that mid-year election cycle, which we are now past. The historical rate of return from that period to the inauguration and first year over the last 100 years, folks, that's a long enough cycle to look at, yields a plus 50% return in the major averages, which thrusts us into the Dow 16 to 18,000 level by the time I take a two-year sabbatical from the business in the fall of 09. Between now and 09, take advantage of what we're offering, however we can help you, from the fall of 09 till the spring of 2012. I would like to be emulating my friend Jimmy Rogers, maybe touring the world. We'll pull the kids out of school. We'll peek around and we'll see what's going on out there. But the reality is, between now and then, we are in a bull market that should not be ignored. The good news for us is that the media and the rest of the public, the majority of them, still don't hear this very clear message, not being sung by me, because I can't sing. It's being sung by the market. All you need to do is put your prejudices away, put your belief systems away temporarily, and ask the market what's going on. When you see what's going on, you'll have a different point of view. It's American ingenuity. It's American entrepreneurism. It's the never-quit society. And when we get hit, we get back up again, folks. So I got to tell you, I'm thoroughly enjoying the day ahead. I think that the show is going to be great. I ran into a gentleman running one of the smaller coffee companies. It might surprise you, coffee's been in a 20-plus year bear market. The charts confirm the bear market in coffee is over. There are several ways to play. We'll have a great conversation later on with Terry Klassen. And I do believe also we have another Terry coming on the show. It's a little confusing. But silver, the big surprise for the fourth quarter, and we'll have our two guests coming on after the show. In the meantime, let me repeat how we can help you, folks. We can go back and get your portfolio score, get the newsletter, give the office a call. They'll play the 800 number on the commercial along with the other great commercials they play. But stick with us on Voice America. We got a wonderful show ahead. More importantly, we're tuning you in to the market, which is making people wealthy while the other guys sit on their hands. Folks, it's a quick break. Stay with us on Voice America Business. I'm Jordan Kimmel. We'll be right back with more profitable investing. We got a quick break to take.
Listen wherever you are. 24-hour business and financial news. Solid, focused, and informed. The leader in business talk. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
At the Magna Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magna Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. They say it's from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote. And then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found a small patch of plastic on my right shoulder.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody, to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And we have a segment set up right now for Sean Broderick, senior commodities analyst over at Money in the Market. He writes for Wealth Daily. He wants to talk about his big surprise, which is silver, and wants to talk a little bit more about the energy crunch. And I'll kind of set this up while waiting him to call in. And basically, let me just share, you know, my thought here first, which is that every once in a while we're in the middle of a super cycle right now taking place in commodities, which, by the way, can coincide with a bull market in the stock market. We're in this tremendous super cycle right now, and suddenly people wake up and say, wait, no, oversupply of everything. The economy's slowing dramatically. The consumer won't spend, and we have just too much of everything. Well, step back for a minute, and I think that we need to have Jim Rogers, a friend through the other media shows I've developed, who's written a tremendous book called Commodities, and if you haven't read his two other books, you really should enlighten yourself. It's tremendous reading. But basically, what you need to do is to step back away from the hysteria and ask yourself a simple supply and demand question. How much of this stuff is being pulled out of the ground, and what's the demand for it? And then if there's increasing demand, how quickly can they ramp it up and simply do more? Now, we know there's lots of companies that can triple shift and simply turn the spigots on. We know companies like Goodyear Tire, and you don't have to go into the other sad stories whose sales are waning, that should they get some big orders, they could meet them in a minute by just increasing supply. Well, the commodities aren't quite like that. And what you need to look at is the longer-term trend. And, folks, I've been a proponent since this show has started, which frankly started such a good time for all of us. The reality is that we see a global expansion taking place. There is literally no question about it. We introduced the acronym BRICS the second I saw it in a newspaper a long time ago already, and it was very, very clear what's going on. But now you fast forward, it's not only China, Brazil, India, it's Vietnam, it's Argentina, it's virtually every city in America you walk into, every country in the world is going through their own expansion right now. And these groups don't actually simply budget based on how the month is going. There, if we're in 06 right now, some of these groups are working on their 09 budget. The highway plan that's under progress right now in China will not stop if there's a bad month, bad week, bad day. We're talking about stick-to-itiveness of the world development breakout right here, which simply won't stop. And as Sir John Templeton described back in the days when the Berlin Wall came down, what you saw, frankly, was 250 million more consumers coming on board, which he said was the single most important thing he saw in his lifetime. Well, how about the billions that are coming on from the early developers? What about those countries that haven't yet really fell into the step yet? Guys like Pakistan, which has a huge population itself. So I think what we're seeing is just greater demand for commodities in a society that can't ramp up production all that quickly. It takes a long time, folks, to build a copper smelting plant. One hasn't been built in the United States in, I believe, since I'm born. I believe that's a fact. So what we're seeing here, and I will admit, we had one great company on our list forever and ever. We ended up emotionally saying we had enough of it. We got stopped out of Southern Peruvian Copper, which had a tremendous dividend on it, only to see the company continuing to hit new highs and hit another new high this week. So even myself, part of about this show, folks, is, you know the old expression, when you teach, you get to organize your thoughts and you get to learn yourself. By doing this show, actually, it helps me to continue to remind myself to stay patient, to remind myself to be in the top-ranked magnet stocks, and let all the noise and nonsense kind of go over my head and through me. Not that I don't listen, but not to pay too much attention. The reality is that one of the reasons this is simply such a tough business is the level of misinformation, that's right, not disinformation, but misinformation that hits the tape. When a company, believe it or not, wants to buy their own stock back for their own treasury, it is not uncommon for them to put out a negative press release, see the stock drop 3 or 4 points or 8 or 10%, and okay, and they come in and they're a buyer. Now, I understand we got Sean joining us right now. Sean, you with us?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. We have one.
Sean, I gave you a great setup here. There's only a couple minutes in your whole piece. First thing we have to do is we got to qualify you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from first.
Sure. Well, right now I work for Weiss Research in Florida, and I cover natural resources, really, with a focus on Canada and also Asia. I mean, because those are the places where things are really happening now. And so I have some services that are focused on that. I also write reports on things like uranium, gold, that kind of thing.
Okay, well, listen, I'm sorry you joined us as late as you did. We're going to stay on our own schedule here, but you have a couple minutes. Sean, tell the story, the most compelling and important story you think you want to bring to us.
Well, would you like to hear about silver or uranium? They both have extremely compelling stories.
I think I'm going to leave it to you. Which one do you think is more important to the markets and our listeners?
Well, right now we are seeing some real strength in, like, precious metals. I and about everybody else was expecting a pullback because they'd broken out last week. Mm-hmm. But the pullback we got was very short. The kind of strength we're seeing is really, well, really heartening if you're as deep into these metals as, like, many of us are.
Okay.
And we are seeing the small cap miners really start to move now. So if people don't have small cap miners in their portfolios yet, they really might want to think about it.
Okay, here's what I'm going to ask you to do because we're so short on your segment.
Sure.
With a little qualifier that we're not here hyping stocks, that people need to really make their own decisions after doing some homework, give me your best actual symbols. And we'll go in and we'll do some homework. We'll run them through Magna. We'll bring you on back another time.
Okay. Yes. Well, most of the stocks I follow trade on foreign exchanges. One people can buy, though, is Silver Wheaton. It has its price capped at about $3.90 per ounce. That's what it gets the silver for.
Okay.
And you're seeing what's happening with silver prices lately. Plus, it's making some very smart deals, lining up a lot more production to increase its output quite a bit. Silver Wheaton is symbol SLW. It's not in any of my portfolios right now, but it's a great buy, and I think it's really going to go places.
Okay, and why is it not in your portfolio?
Well, because I have other smaller miners that are even more highly leveraged that'll have big discoveries coming down the pike. I can tell you about those, but I don't want you to think that I'm, you know, trying to boost the small.
Right. No, I appreciate it. What we're more interested in is the theme, why we should be doing this, not for a trade, but for longer term. Help me out here. Is there a shortage? Is there a difficulty pulling this out of the ground? What's making this move take place?
Well, there are a couple of factors. One is that the amount of silver coming out of mines hasn't been able to meet demand for years. Now, they are cranking up production. They're trying to. But at the same time, we're having new demand come on. Also, industrial demand. Plus, we have the, like, ETF, the, like, new silver ETF. It has soared in the amount of silver it has. Plus, it just filed papers to increase its size by about 1.5 times. That's going to be a tremendous amount. Plus, you have huge demand from places like India and stuff, which used to be traditionally very much into, like, a gold jewelry. But now they're starting to move into silver jewelry. And, like, India has over 1 billion people into it. That can be a big mover on the market.
There's no question that that's a kind of long-term trend we're looking at. What is the story behind the uranium you're talking about?
Oh, gosh, uranium. Boy, you really have to bring me on for a longer segment on that. But again, there's a huge supply-demand deficit. The mines can only meet 62% of the global demand right now. The rest is made up from old Russian nuclear warheads. But that agreement is going to expire, which is really going to put things in a fix. There are more and more nuclear power plants being built, which means we need more uranium. And there wasn't any new exploration for uranium. It is kind of a common metal, but you have to explore for it, right? There wasn't exploration for it for a long time. That means over the next 5 years or so, we're going to see a real squeeze. Plus, there's a company called Cameco, biggest uranium miner in the world. They had a mine that was supposed to come online in 2008 called Cigar Lake. Well, it's called Cigar Lake for a reason. It's completely flooded now. It's going to take years to get back online.
Okay. Now, what we're going to do, and I'm going to allow you, if you would, to give you contact information, maybe where someone can get a sample. I'm going to invite you on. You got to promise me next time you're going to look at your clock a little better.
I'm sorry. If I didn't have things erupting around my ears, it's a fast-moving market. I would have been on here, and I'm really sorry about that.
All right, so where can people find you guys?
People can read my stuff at moneyandmarkets.com. In fact, I just wrote a column yesterday on silver, and one of my coworkers has some information on platinum, which is quite interesting. That was in yesterday's column. And also, you can always catch me on redhotresources.blogspot.com. That's my blog.
Okay, so here's the last question. It's a hard one. Do you look at charts first and then kind of tell the story, or do you think of the story and then see if the chart confirms you?
Well, I always keep a, like, real fundamental background in mind. I'm always looking for stocks I think are undervalued, but I use charts as, like, my triggers as when to get into a trade.
Okay, and if they break down, you'll exit the trade, no questions,
yes,
no stories.
Which I've done, because sometimes, you know, as they say, the market can really be, you know, more
irrational longer than you can stay solvent, right?
So you have to get out of a trade when it's not working
out. Gotcha. Hey, listen, Sean, thanks for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
All right, and
folks, you're listening to Voice America Business. I'm Jordan Kimmel. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
At the Magna Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magna Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
If you're looking to improve sales results, increase revenue, acquire new customers, or just retain existing ones, listen to Sales Talk with nationally recognized sales and customer relationship management consultant, speaker, sales trainer, and author, Russ Lombardo. On Sales Talk, Russ provides insights and knowledge about today's best-selling techniques and methodologies. Learn about the latest sales-related software and tools to help organize your efforts for achieving more efficiency and get a better understanding of what services are available to improve sales results. On Sales Talk, Russ Lombardo and his expert guests get down to brass tacks and talk about what's needed today to succeed in sales. Whether you're a sales manager, sales professional, business owner, or entrepreneur, you'll benefit from the business insights, experience, and knowledge. Sales Talk with Russ Lombardo, broadcast each Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel. Sales Talk with Russ Lombardo, insights, experience, and knowledge at the click of a mouse.
Hi. My name is Joanne, and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community, because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody. Welcome to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And it is a pleasure now to bring on a new friend, a gentleman that I haven't known very long, but I've known of his company for a little while. We have Terry Glasson, Chief Operating Officer from Coffee Pacifica. Terry, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Jordan.
All right. It's really a pleasure having you. Earlier on in the show, I set up the fact that I believe very, very strongly that coffee itself as a commodity has definitively broken out of really what was a 20-year downtrend. It's hard to believe with all the Starbucks and whatnot around this country that coffee has, in fact, been in a downtrend for that long. I want to, first of all, welcome you on to the show. And I want to ask you if you could, the M in Magnet stands for management. So before we get into coffee and your company, let's hear a little bit about you, your background, and what brought you into this company.
Well, my background has been in coffee all my life, pretty much my entire family, if you go back. I've been in coffee 32 years, from the wholesale side to roasting to on-the-street sales to working in the warehouse, you name it. So our entire family has always been involved with coffee in one way or another.
It's incredible. I did not know that when we met, that really never came up. And so you followed family into the business. Can you give us a background? I mean, if I'm right in what I'm saying, what it's like to be involved in coffee all this long? Has it been in a trend that's been down, and what's reversing it?
Well, when I first started in the business, coffee was strictly a commodity, even on the street. It wasn't a matter of what quality or what type of coffee did you have. It was what price did you have. And it was a very simple process in that, in terms of that. Then as the advent of coffee changed about 20 years ago, and people started to actually know what a Colombian coffee was. And so that began to be promoted by the Colombian Federation. Then we started to have the advent of the odd coffee store, and the idea of gourmet coffee, at least we called it at that time, came on. So the conversation started to switch, and we recognized early on that, you know, you could get a better premium for your coffee, and we had to offer premium coffee to do that, if you had what we would call true specialty coffee. So the way of selling coffee and taking it to market was changing. It was an educational process. Let me show you what I've got. Let me show you what you've been drinking. And we'd sit and cup with the customers. And it was very interesting to do because the customers would pick out the better coffee. But in the market, they hadn't been exposed to it. And when they were, price became much, much less of an issue.
Interesting. So your business itself, is it, let's talk about, let's get into your company a little bit. Let me preface it, Terry. We don't really pump companies here. We really ask people, give you some contact information. We ask them to read, do their homework. Your company trades kind of at a low volume level, so it's not a trade. It's something that you'd only invest in if you believed in the story and the concept long term. What makes your company different than other companies involved in the coffee business?
Well, you're exactly right about our company. It's treat a cup, and I think that really sums up what we do. For most people who aren't don't know the coffee industry, what happens is you have the farmers in the countries around the world, mostly third world, that grow their coffees, and they get literally pennies for it. Some middleman picks it up from them in cherries or parchment stage, sends it off to another group who do the milling and drying and processing, who sell it to another group, who ship it over, who sell it to another group. You start to see the process. So the farmer is getting literally pennies for what he's grown. Every middleman in the chain, which sometimes can be up to 8 to 10, make more than he does on the actual coffee. So it finally gets to the consumer here, to the roaster, to be turned into drinkable coffee. Our concept is that we started in New Guinea with John Yo-Yo, a good friend of ours who is really the chairman on the ground, well-respected in the country, 30 years as an agronomist, and he saw the need to be able to take this coffee directly to market. So him and Shailen Singh together really pioneered the effort where they created the chain to do that. Our company buys the coffee direct from the farmers. We arrange the transportation. We make sure we look after the processing. And they make sure that all of the coffee arrives here in good shape, in good order, and to the right quality standards. The thing about our company is a third of our shares are actually owned by the farmers that supply us. So they have a vested interest not only in getting a good price for their coffee and producing good coffee, but the company doing well. And that is just out of the box when it comes to any other coffee company out there. Nobody else does that. Nobody else creates those synergies. And the people, for the first time, are seeing their coffee packaged. Some of them, for the first time, are cupping their coffees and drinking them. So it's truly a tremendous success story, to the point today that we have over 120,000 farmers and their families supplying us coffee in just under 3 years.
Right. No, I think that's a tremendous, tremendous story to tell. And, you know, one of the things that we look at, and it follows into this, is what we call insider ownership, making sure that everyone's got a vested interest in the company itself working out. And you certainly picked a very unique way, a very strong way of achieving that. My hat's off to you. Now, you've said coffee's been your business forever, but how long have you been involved in Coffee Pacifica? Where are the roots to the company itself?
I've been involved with Coffee Pacifica just coming up to 2 years now. It was kind of a fluke, being in the business and buying and selling coffee and being a broker. I happened on a headline one day about this company, Coffee Pacifica, who was doing this type of arrangement, and I was excited. I thought, hey, I've never seen or heard this before. And there was a little note that they were looking for a sales rep. And I thought, you know what, I might be able to broker some coffee for them. So I hit a headline, and away it sent my email. Well, Shailen Singh was back to me in about 20 minutes, asked me my background, and he kind of hit it off from there, and you know, I got to tell you, after you've done something, I'm sure you know this for a long time, and I've been in the business about 30 years. I don't say I was burned out, but I thought I'd seen and done everything there was to do, and you know, you'd lose that initial enthusiasm. I can say in the last 2 years of doing this, I don't think I've ever had more fun in the coffee business. It's just been a really great thing. It's so great to go and see the people that produce the coffee and have them so appreciative and thank you for what you do. And to know that at the end of the day, you know what, you not only have a job, but you do make a difference in a lot of people's lives.
Right. No, I think that's a beautiful way of thinking. It's a great story involved. I read, and I was sharing about this book, and I shared it with you when I met you. Folks, I met Terry a couple weeks ago at a conference that I spoke at. Jim Rogers, in his book Commodities, talking about for years and years, the small farmer had, in fact, been just abandoning their crops and walking away from the whole industry, walking away from their own property because it wasn't simply profitable. You may be reversing that trend where you're working, but it's kind of hard to believe. Is that, in fact, true? Are you familiar with that at all?
Absolutely. We've seen, I've traveled many coffee countries and seen literally hundreds of farms abandoned because they just couldn't get the coffee. You have two issues in developing countries. One is the actual infrastructure to transport the coffee, because coffee is grown in, especially good high-grown Arabica, grown in the mountains. So you have to be able to transport it. You have to be able to get a decent price so that you can afford to grow it. For most people in the third world countries, it's an agrarian society. In other words, they grow all the food that they need to eat and so on. Coffee was one of their few crash crops where they actually got it for other needs, clothes and so on, school fees. And if they weren't able to get any money for it or nobody was interested, because we produced so much in the world for so many years, more than people drank, but the advent of specialty coffee has turned that around. And, you know, as I was telling you earlier, we just went to China a month ago, and in China, they are really getting turned on to coffee. I went there basically with Shannon and myself on a fact-finding to see what was going on. And what we saw was that, first of all, they love everything American as we know. And we visited coffee shops, Starbucks and other ones there, and it wasn't the tourists there. It was the Chinese people themselves in there drinking coffee. So when I look at the possibility of a billion people getting turned on to coffee, you're absolutely right when you talk about the commodity not lasting as far as what the amount that they're going to go through and what the world supply is.
Right. I think that's a fabulous story. We know they're teetotalers over there, but we know that they do love American products. I know that Starbucks really identifies that as their big growth vehicle over the next 10 years. And, Terry, you sound like you're in the right place, too. Why don't we take a break here for you to give your contact information, share where they could either reach the company, get an investment package, maybe where can they find your coffee and give it a try?
Our coffee is sold by a roaster we own called Uncommon Grounds. If they go online, it's www.uncommongrounds.net, and all of our coffee is listed there. You can also go on our website of Coffee Pacifica, www.coffeepacifica.com, and there's a direct link to Uncommon Grounds there and their website where you can purchase the coffee. You know, I would say that given the amount of roasters and companies we sell to, that you've probably tried our coffee as a blend of their own already. But this way you're able to actually get the direct coffee that we have. And it also has our investor relations on our website with the names, addresses, and everything there when you can click on and ask for an investor package. And it also has a special we're running now, which is the women's coffee. This is coffee grown and produced by women in Papua New Guinea. And the proceeds of it they use for pre- and postnatal care. And it's quite an interesting story, and you can read all about it. It's called Boca Coffee.
Tremendous. Never heard of it. Again, new things we hear about on profitable investing. That's really a treat, Terry. Listen, one other thing I want to just let you share, if there's a management thing, how do you get everybody as enthusiastic as you? I hear your energy and enthusiasm. Is the rest of the group kind of share your way of being?
Absolutely. You know, this is just a great thing for us. Everybody loves what they do. John Yogigo, our chairman in New Guinea, you know, he just loves his own people. And if you travel the country, for example, everybody respects John. After 30 years in the business, whatever he says, they believe, and he's been a man of honor and really done that. In third world countries, that's very hard to find.
Now, reputation is key. We spend a lot of time building it. Terry, one last thing. I hear a commercial coming on. It means we're going to take a break. I know you're not a doctor now, but give me your opinion. How many cups of coffee is appropriate for the average American adult to drink per day?
I would, you know, everybody has what they think works for them. And, you know, for me, I probably think, I probably take 10 cups of coffee a day. I actually get about 4 of them drank. You figure out what works for your health.
Just you watch it, buddy. That's great, Terry. Appreciate you coming on. It really was a pleasure. Great luck, and here's a cup to you, okay?
Thanks very much, Jordan.
My pleasure. Folks, you're listening to Voice America Business. We'll be right back. Stick with us. We saved some things for the end. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
At the Magna Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magna Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. There you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to our show, everybody. Welcome to Profitable Investing. And I have to say that it's such an interesting time for me. And I met Terry over at a conference I spoke at a couple weeks ago out in L.A. And there's so many small companies, so many entrepreneurs that really lead this country in terms of innovation. It might not make some sense to you, but a lot of the data we read on employment and business all comes from the largest companies that get surveyed, where more than 85% of our population works for companies with less than 30 employees. And that's so interesting to understand that it's always been the engine of America has been the smaller companies, the entrepreneurs. Unfortunately, a lot of these companies get turned over to the kids and the grandkids. They don't have the same either work ethic, the entrepreneurism, or as our guest the other week talked about, they grew up with affluenza. That is, they grew up with too much money, too much silver spoon, and they never figured out how to work themselves properly like the founders of the companies did. But again, I think what you continue to see here in the midst of all the negativism, and talks about the exportation of jobs and whatnot, we're seeing more higher paying jobs, more companies being started up, more innovation in this country than ever before. I believe that was the message that was forgotten to be told at the polls last Tuesday, and I believe the focus is on one thing right now and getting ourselves out and getting our soldiers home safely. And hey folks, I'm all behind that too. I just feel that what you have here is something very similar that took place in Southeast Asia, where there was a fight, there was a domino theory. The belief was we didn't need to be there. In retrospect, we're not talking about democracy, we're not talking about capitalism, we're talking about simply free market. Everybody loves a free market. That's in fact what I believe in, and if we didn't have a free market in this country, we wouldn't be who we were. But enough of the politics. Really what the main message here is that a lot of people who hear about the problems of Ford or GM or any one of these companies, well, I want to bring in a concept I've talked about once before called the S-curve. And in the S-curve, things get born, they go through a rapid growth development, then they go through a period of kind of deterioration, and then eventually decline. What I'd like kind of every listener to do, if you want to email me something, make a list of all of the multi-generational companies that you have a lot of respect for. And I think what you're going to find is there's very few of them. And we also like to talk about the fact that in the S&P 500, there are actually 480 some odd new names that weren't in there 30 years ago. And that means that all these companies came from somewhere. What we look for, ideally, is those companies that haven't even made the Russell 2000 yet, that make the Russell, then they graduate up, kind of like getting into high school, they become a member of the S&P 600, and then they get a member of the S&P 400, they get S&P 500. That's the whole point, folks. You got to go through a growth rate. What we do is we put our finger on the pulse and ask a very simple question. Is there any company out there relative to their industry that seems to be growing their revenues that much faster? Is there any company growing their profit margins that much faster? How about cash flow? All of these criteria that we've developed, that we put into this magnet stock selection process, which combines value, growth, and momentum in a very, very unique way. In our book, Magnet Investing, we talked about the fact that people would begin screening for stocks and begin using websites and software to put in criteria and screen for stocks. Folks, when we wrote that, that was kind of not happening. That was very, very early. There was only one or two companies involved in that. We predicted it would get mainstream, and boy, did it ever. Now we know on our list of magnet stock selection, whether you're a growth manager, a value manager, or even a momentum player, we know what scores out on your sheets, and we see them first. They tend to become magnets. They attract other investors and pull them in, and that's why our list tends to grow that much faster. The problem is many of the names on our list, I'll challenge you, look at the list in the newsletter, see how many of those companies you even know. Some of them aren't household names, despite the fact that they have a niche that they dominate in their own industry. We are not looking for a trade on Tuesday to exit on Thursday. If we could find a company that has a strategic advantage, a barrier to entry, that dominates a niche, that's very profitable, we know quarter after quarter, eventually someone's going to find them. But we're not only interested in the smaller companies. We have an ability to go into any market cap, any size, any sector, and simply rank them in order, call them from best to worst, and present that list. This is something we're doing for institutions. It's some way, if there's any way, anyhow, we can help you, let us know it. Additionally, we're really, really just determined to make this Voice America's best show. We know that this is where the market is going. We want America, Voice America, to get as big as possible. If you'd like to be a guest on a show, if you want to present the guest to us, if there's someone who you think we need to learn about, see about, that we have not yet met, call us. Give us a call at 888-766-6828. Tell us a subject you'd like us to explore, an expert to bring on, because this show is really about you. It is interesting for me to kind of fine-tune my thoughts before I come on the air, look for interesting guests, look for trends to bring them to you. But most importantly, the show is to help you harness this free market, harness the stock market that is really, really much stronger than the media would want you to believe. Put you in a position where your savings rate has you more leisure time, and eventually, ultimately, puts you in a position to set up a family foundation, a charity that you deeply believe in, that you want to see their cause moved along. That's what this country is about. We've had guests on discussing their charitable pieces, what they're doing. We had Michael Steinhardt on, who became probably one of the most successful hedge fund managers, and now he's busy trying to find causes to give away $1 billion or $2 so he can die penniless and promote causes that are meaningful to him. These are the people that move me, not the guys who cheat and steal and get another basis point or another percentage for their own fund, the guys who didn't remember what after 4 o'clock meant and ended up paying hundreds of millions of dollars in fine, cheating the small investors. What we really need to do here is to rebuild the confidence, and that's the only thing that's been missing in the stock market. We need to rebuild the confidence in the market to go along with the confidence with the consumer already has and the economics that go with it. I like to kid people that you don't become an emergency nurse for the wrong reasons. You don't become volunteers in hospitals for the wrong reasons. Unfortunately, many people do enter this industry and get into the financial business exactly for the wrong reason. And greed has always been out there, folks. It will always be out there. And let's remember Gordon Gekko in his great speech in Wall Street saying greed is good. Well, measured greed is good. Being, you know, wanting to be a winner is good. But what this show is about is to help you identify the companies that are leading this country forward. And let me not be too nationalistic here, folks. There's plenty of stocks in our portfolio that are international companies. In our newsletter, there are companies that are international. We're not prejudiced. We don't only talk about American companies. But what's interesting is a lot of other countries are not yet ready to provide quarterly data that we need at Magnet to take the pulse of our companies before we invest in them. That's a message out there to you guys internationally. Break down, get a little more transparent. That's the only way to attract capital. That's what countries and that's what companies are finding. Well, I'm hearing music. That means the engineers are telling me my time is up. We had a great show here again. We see a bigger listener group. We want to get this show as interesting as you can. Again, tell us what we can do to help you. In the meantime, the bull is underway. Market is under accumulation. Get a copy of our last newsletter from magnetinvesting.com. Hear what we're saying. Read what we're saying. Have a wonderful week again. It's a spring day here in the fall in the Northeast Jersey. Folks, it's time to sign off. It's Jordan Kimmel wishing you a profitable week ahead. We'll see you next week right here on Voice America. It's been a pleasure. Have a profitable week. I'm off to the gaming show, folks, next week. The International Gaming Show starts on Monday evening. I'll be there with our top companies. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in for another exciting hour of profitable investing right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.